You bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, I pray that our worship will be acceptable in your sight. I ask that you speak through me and you speak to me and help me to learn to trust in thy will. These things we ask in your holy blessed name. Amen. So August has been a really, really difficult month. I thought that everything I've been through health-wise in the last few years was tough. But there is nothing harder for a mother than to take her child to complete strangers and leave her there. August 3rd, David and I had to take our baby. And at first, we were all just thinking of it as an extended summer camp. It was going to be okay. We're going to see her in a couple of weeks. But we had to take her to Highland Academy. And this is her decision. My little girl has known from the time that she could talk that Highland Academy was where she wanted to go. It's where her daddy went. It's where her grandpa went, or her papa. It's where her Aunt Tammy went. This was where she was going. And so mommy couldn't dissuade her, no matter how much I tried. And I found myself on August 2nd on my knees begging God to give me strength. All night, August 2nd, before we took her up there, I just asked God to please help me not fall apart, because it was already going to be hard enough for her to not have her mother losing her mind. And it was funny because I said something to a coworker of mine, and I said, I'm just praying that I won't cry. And she says, oh, honey, that's a given. You're going to cry. Just pray that it's not an ugly cry. That it's not the snot running down your nose and the tears and the red face. And I'm like, okay. So I started praying, God, don't let me cry ugly when I take Jenna to Academy. But I fully understood what Hannah went through when she took little Samuel to leave with the priest. And he was so much younger than Jenna. She's 14, and she knows Krav Maga. So I'm okay. She can defend herself. Right, Simon's boys? She liked to practice on them, bless their hearts. But they were willing participants. They were so sweet. But still, I mean, Samuel was a baby. He was young. And Hannah kept her promise, and she took him to the temple. So as I struggled on August 2nd with what I knew I had to do, I prayed the prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden. It's found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 42. If you'll turn there with me. Now he prays this prayer twice, both times in Matthew 26. The first time in verse 39. He had just talked to his disciples and he asked them if they would just stay and pray. And as he left them to pray, he went a little farther off and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And then Jesus went back to the disciples, wounded in heart, struggling with the decision that he knew was coming, and he found them sleeping. I know how that feels, because as I was begging God to give me the strength, and I'm crying my eyes out, and I'm trying to get it together so I can take my child to Academy the next day, I walk into my bedroom, and there's my husband. I'm like, okay, I'm going back to pray. So, and Jesus did the same thing. He walked over to find, he wasn't even 10 feet from them in the garden. He hadn't been gone that long. And he comes back and his friends, his comfort, his support system, they're all there sleeping. So he walks again, and it says in verse 42, again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And so I prayed that same prayer. If this is going to happen, your will be done. And on August 3rd, we drove our baby to Academy and left her there in the hands of complete strangers. And the rest of the month of August has been a perpetual training in trusting in God. There have been times when she has called me in tears over her math, Miss B. You know how she is. And we have tried, and I'm terrible at math, y'all. I picked the only two degrees out there that had nothing to do with math. Okay? So, and she's calling me to help her with something that I had 30 years ago, and I don't remember it well from then. So there was a lot of praying and weeping and crying on my part, and there was a little bit of tears on hers too. As we helped her through doing homework over the phone, which is unique. But then there were times when she was elated and joyful, and I could think, oh, praise you, Jesus, this is the moment, this is it, she's going to do great from here on out. And then the next day, we're back down again. Yeah, somebody said, welcome to a teenager. Yeah, I know. But I'll tell you, the thing about it is that from the time Jenna was born, I've always been able to see up until this year what was going to happen. I've always had this, it's almost like a ticking time bomb that I've known has been coming. You know, I've had a date that I knew that I had to get every bit of knowledge and wisdom and understanding and love for the Lord into my child by the time she turned 14, because I knew this day was coming. And I can't see beyond this date. I prepared for this time, and now it's a black void, and I can't see beyond it. I understand what Ellen White said when she said that Jesus couldn't see beyond the grave. He had prepared his whole life prior to coming. From the foundation of the world, he was slain. He knew it was coming. And he gets to that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he cannot see beyond the darkness. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, that there are times in each and every one of our lives where we are going to come to that moment. Some of us already have. Where we come to that brick wall, and we have nowhere to go. We don't know what's beyond it. And it's that moment when I want you to remember that when you can't walk forward, it's time to hit your knees. It's time to get on your knees and crawl. Right? Because he's not done with us yet. Sometimes, like we talked about in our youth class, sometimes he's going to ask us to do things that are just that much too hard for us, because he knows we can do them with his help. But we have to trust that when we step into that void, he'll be there, and he's going to guide us. And that's where I am now. I feel like I am standing on the precipice of a Grand Canyon, and I'm looking at the fall that I'm about to take, and I don't know that I have the strength to do it. But all I have to do is trust in him. And I have to tell you, there's this little miracle that happened even in the preparation for this sermon. I emailed Melinda this week the verses I just read you as our scripture reading. But something happened to me this week. Wednesday was a rough day. We weren't able to contact Jenna all day Wednesday, all night Wednesday night. And my child was an hour and a half away, which doesn't seem like a lot, but when it's your baby, an hour and a half might as well be a year. Because I couldn't get a hold of my baby. I couldn't talk to her. I couldn't see that she was okay. And I knew that she was struggling with something, and I knew she was hurting, and I couldn't get to her, and I couldn't help her. She had to go through it on her own. And I was hurting so bad, and I talked to the same coworker that talked about the ugly cry, and I told her what I was going through, and she said, I'll be praying for you. And then as she opened her phone, up popped the memory verse of the day, and it happens to be the one that Melinda put in for our bulletin. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. And I could breathe again. I saw that verse. She emailed it to me. She said, "This, you need to read this." And I could breathe again because I knew that he's got my baby. He's got her. She's okay. I'm okay. His grace is still amazing. Because no matter how many times I try to take everything back and I try to control it all, he's still there for me. He still patiently waits for me to give it back up. But the hardest thing sometimes to do is to trust that he's got it, right? I mean, in 1 John 5:14 and 15, let's turn there. Says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Sometimes it's hard to ask God for help because we think we're supposed to have it all together. And sometimes when we ask him, he tells us no. And it's even harder to accept a no sometimes than it is silence. But God is still a loving father. He knows how to give his children good gifts. And he knows how to bring us confidence and comfort. And when we ask in his will, he promises us that he will give us everything. Is that not amazing? We can have confidence in coming before the majesty of the universe and knowing that he will provide for us all of our needs. The Bible tells us that my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. I love, there's a verse in a song that says, if he could make the morning, then he can make redemption too. You think about that. Is there anything too hard for God if we just allow him to have control instead of keep taking it back? That's the problem. You're right. We still want to take it back. That's why Jesus taught the disciples when they asked him, teach us to pray. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, if you'll turn there. Because the disciples, unfortunately, are just like us. We have very short memories. And oftentimes, we don't know what it is that we need to do. And oftentimes we forget that this is God's world and not ours, and that he's in control. But the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him one day, teach us to pray. And beginning in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9, At the beginning in verse 8, it says, "Therefore, do not be like the heathen, for your Father knows the things that you have need before you ask of him. In this manner, therefore, pray." You guys can say it with me. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." When we come before the throne of God, we have to remember that God already knows what we need. It's time for us to kneel before him and ask him what we need. It's time for us to start learning how to say to him, "All right, your will be done. Father, if it be thy will," we should pray, "would you please help me with this? Would you please guide my child through this? Would you please show me this, if it be thy will?" And when we do that, when we know that we are praying in God's will, then we can have the confidence that's found in James 1 that says, anybody remember what James 1 says? What? What'd you say, Chuck? Let's turn there, James 1. It's right after Hebrews. The Bible tells us in James 1, beginning in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wind of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind, is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded." James reminds us that when we ask in God's will, we can have confidence, knowing that he will provide for us our best good, that he will do what is right for us. And sometimes, it's not the easiest thing to live with. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes the working of our faith and the producing of patience is a painful, difficult lesson to learn. But when we trust in God, it's a lesson that's worth learning, because he has something so much better in mind for us. I know that in my life, every time I've had a tough decision to make, we talked about this in Sabbath school. I know Ms. Michelle shared with us that, you know, God will bring those things up around again until we finally make the right decision. He'll keep working with us. And I know that when I've struggled the hardest, as Paul called it, to kick against the pricks, whenever you push back against God and you try hard not to do what God is leading you to do, it hurts so much. But when you finally learn to submit to God and allow him to lead in your life, there's a peace that comes over you that passes all understanding. It gives you this strength to go on through whatever it is that he's asked you to give up or to stop or to do or to go. wherever he's sent you, he provides that grace. And he provides that strength to do what it is he's asked you to do. Esther understood what it meant to trust in God when you didn't know where the darkness was coming, what was beyond the darkness. When Mordecai told her that she was going to be, that she had to go before the king and tell him who she was and to save her people, her response found in Esther 4:16 was perfect. She said, "Go, gather together all the Jews and that are represented in Shushan and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, day or night. I also and my maidens will likewise fast, and so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." Job said, "Yet though he slay me, will I trust in him." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "God is able to save us, but if not, still we will serve the Lord." Sometimes we have to trust God's heart when we can't see his hand. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." But sometimes it's so hard to say, "Thy will be done."
I thought I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. And somehow we ended up here. I don't want to think, I may never understand how my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I tried to pray, all I got was hurt and these four words: Thy will be done, Thy will be done, Thy will be done. I know you're doesn't feel good right now, but I know you think of things I could never think about. I try to count it all joy, distracted by the noise, just trying to make sense of all your promises. When I try to think, remember that you're God and I. My will be done, my will be done, my will be done. Like a child on my knees, all that comes to me is my will be done, my will
So my challenge to you today is, what are you holding back from God? What is it that he's trying to tell you that you need to do or say? Where is he telling to tell you to go? What is it that you have not given him? Is there something in your life that you need to say, thy will be done? Mine was my child. I had to give him my child and trust that she is in his hands and that he loves her more than I do. That was mine. What's yours? The song doesn't say, our closing song today does not say, I surrender some. It doesn't say, I surrender a quarter or a half. It says, I surrender all. And I want to ask you today, if you want the strength, as the woman said to Jesus, I believe, help thou my unbelief. If you want to come up today as we sing our closing song, I surrender all. If there's something in your heart that you haven't been willing to give him yet, but now you are, or you want to be willing, I want to invite you to come up as we sing our closing song. Number 309, I surrender all.
I will ever love.
you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, sometimes it's so hard to let go of what we have in our hands, to trust you to hold our hands and walk us through the darkness. But Father, when we trust in you, there is a light on the other side, so shiny and so bright and so beautiful. Something that we can't even fathom and understand in our finite minds. Something so amazing. Oh God, it's so hard to trust you sometimes. But if we remember in our lives all the times that you have gotten us through all the other moments of darkness, how can we do anything but trust in you? Father, we believe you when you promise us that you will never leave us or forsake us. So we trust you. We surrender everything. It's all yours anyway. We're just here to learn how to love you. Help us, Lord, to learn how to surrender to you, how to submit our will for yours, and to say, thy will be done. These things we ask in your holy, blessed name. Amen.